to be here, and we hope to be a blessing to you folks. Most of you know me. I don't know if anybody don't know me, but I'm Tony Saxton, formerly a pastor at Charity Bible Baptist Church for 22 years, and the last 10 years I've been serving the Lord as an evangelist, and you folks have been very, very faithful in supporting our ministry, and you know, you're long overdue for a testimony, and I'm not prepared to give you one today, but I'll send one along, okay? How's about that? Okay, I'd be remiss not to introduce my wife, my beautiful wife, Yvonne. Next to Jesus, she's the best thing that's ever happened to me. Can I get an amen? All right. Father, we come before you once again in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, just want to be used of you, dear God, in the ministry that you've allowed me to serve in as an evangelist. Coming alongside of Pastor Shear, Lord, this morning. God, give us the grace that we need, dear Lord, to edify the body of Christ. Please, dear Father, for your honor, for your glory, for your kingdom purposes. Lord, I really want to reflect upon the importance of the Word of God today, in keeping with the theme that the church has, the essential and enduring Word of God. Now, Lord, I'm not worthy. And Lord, I know that. I know that I can do nothing without you, so I just surrender totally and completely to you. God, as a testimony of your love and your power, please minister to these folks through me for your honor and for your glory. God, help us, I pray, to be motivated, challenged, and encouraged, dear God, to be careful not to minimize the importance of the Word of God. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I was trying to think of a song that would be appropriate, and I think this might work. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you? He has said to you for refuge, to Jesus hath fled. Fear not, I am with thee. Oh, be not dismayed, for I am thy God and will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand upheld by my righteous omnipotent hand. When through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be my supply. The flame shall not hurt thee, I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. The soul that on Jesus had leaned for repose, I will not desert to its foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never forsake. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. Amen. Can you think of a better foundation than the Word of God? Oh, I know that you can't. Amen. Listen, I'm going to ask a special request even as I preach. I'm not going to be bouncing off the walls today. I'm not going to be jumping up and down. I won't be jumping over pews and things of that nature. Amen. Is that all right? I could use your prayer. I'm not feeling too well this morning, but I trust that God to give us grace to get this thing done. Amen. I guess that's what I'm saying. I have to trust God's grace a little bit more today than sometimes. Well, anyhow, let me get started before I get in trouble. by way of introduction this morning, in keeping with your theme this year, the essentials and enduring word, I'd like to preach a two-part message this morning and this evening entitled God's Prosperity Doctrine. God's Prosperity Doctrine. Now, this is what I want you to do. I want you to help me out. Okay, so I'm going to give you an opportunity to talk back to me in reference to what you think this might be and make comments that's related to the subject this morning. And I do that for one reason, because I could use your help. Amen. And I want to learn. And I just want to test your heartbeat in reference to, you know, our understanding that, you know, God does have a prosperity doctrine. Amen. And, you know, and in our circles, the circles that we've grown up in biblically, you know, we kind of shy away from that whole perspective. Because God's prosperity doctrine is so misrepresented, even in Christendom. Amen. But he does have a prosperity doctrine. God does teach on how he wants us to prosper and have good success in every area of our life. A great measure of success. Amen. And so, right, once again, in keeping with your theme, just want to motivate, challenge, and encourage you. You know, not to minimize the word of God. You know, and I say that by experience, because there's times that I do. You know, God's word is so significant and so important that the word of God tells us that God magnifies his word over and above his name. Wow. He puts it that high esteem. And so we have to be careful, because, you know, anything that God wants us to know, all that God wants us to do, we find in the word of God. Our blessings from God are conditional based upon our obedience to the word of God. Can I get an amen? How many of you like that verse that says that the 1 John chapter 3, verse 22? It said, whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. Because why? Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. How many of us can honestly say that, you know, we put his promises on the same platform as we do his commandments? Word of God tells us that his commandments should not be grievous. But I tell you what, they sure are to the flesh, aren't they? But amen. But anyhow, we want to talk about God's primary prosperity doctrine. How many of you know that according to the word of God, and I want you, you know, and I want you really understand the significance of what I'm saying here. According to the word of God. How many of you know that according to the word of God, that the Lord wants his people to prosper and have good success? What's this? In every area of our lives. Spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, in our stewardship, or which includes finances. Amen? In our social life, and especially in our relationship with him. Nothing's more important in our relationship with God. That's one of the reasons why I like Oswald Chambers so much, because he emphasizes, you know, being rightly related to the Lord. Amen. And you can't do that apart from the word of God. Isn't that right? Amen. So how many of you know that? How many of you believe that? That God really actually wants all of us to prosper in every area of our lives? Any comments? Anybody want to help me to really add? How about you, Professor? Joshua 1:8. Okay, all right, we're going to go there. So you just hold on. You know, there's many messages he can preach. I'm sure there's many messages that when preachers are up here, he's preaching them for us. A lot of times I look to him, amen, to see if I'm on the right track, amen. But absolutely, the word of God says that, doesn't it? I mean, that is one of our texts today. And I won't share the other text. I didn't share that one. You kind of came up with that yourself. Amen. But anyhow, why don't you go ahead and elaborate on that point? Joshua 1:8. Why don't you tell the folks what that is, or what the Word of God says in reference to that?
Day and night, that He will prosper us, and He will bring us good success.
Every area of our life. There's a cross reference that I wanted to share with you a little further in the message, but I just wanted, you know, to really emphasize it. Do we think about that much? Does God really want me to prosper and have good success spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, in our stewardship, which includes our time, our talents, and treasures, which are not ours, they're His. Amen. In our social life, and especially in being rightly related to Him. Amen. Next question. Well, before I get to the next question, God wants us to prosper and have good success, however, according to His will, and not always according to ours. Who said amen? You were waiting for a disclaimer, weren't you? Why would you say that, brother? Help me out with that. That's where everybody gets prosperity wrong, according to our own will. Amen? Good point. I emphasize His will and not ours, not always ours, because of His measure of prosperity. Amen? And good success could be, and oftentimes is, different from ours. You know, we're not talking about God wanting to give everybody a mansion down here. We're not talking about God wanting to give everybody a bankroll down here. We're not talking about God wanting everybody to prosper in every area of our lives, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, financially, in our social lives, and especially our relationship with Him, according to our standards. But God promises a measure of success based upon His perspective, His kingdom perspective, and not ours. If we're not careful, we'll look at prosperity from in establishing our own kingdom. We'll look at prosperity being influenced by sin, self, and ultimately Satan. If God wants us to prosper according to His agenda, His kingdom agenda, and for His honor and for His glory, can I get an amen? So we want to talk about what this looks like. He definitely says He wants us to prosper in every area of our lives. The point of this message is this. If we want to experience the promise of prosperity and good success in all we do, every area of our lives, we must understand how essential the enduring Word of God is to that process. Amen? Here's the body of the message. That was the introduction, but here's the body of the message. The title of the message is God's Prosperity Doctrine. Duh, right? You got that, right? God's Prosperity Doctrine. And once again, it's not man's prosperity, but God's prosperity. You know, let God be true, but every man be a liar. Amen. We know that. Okay? We know that there's a lot of false teaching about that. Amen, brother? Amen. The text, Joshua 1, verse 8. Let's look at that. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. If you don't have this one memorized and meditating on this one, you know, please let me encourage you to do that. Because that's the first step in understanding. You know, this whole concept of God's prosperity doctrine, it starts, I believe, right here, and we have a great cross reference that speaks to that. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and observe to do all that is written therein. For therein thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and therein thou shalt have good success. Explain that. Now, I'm still talking to you. And I still want you to talk back. What does that verse mean? Help me out here. This book of the law, what's he talking about? The word of God shall not depart out of thy mouth. Wait a minute, let me back up a minute. Who is God speaking to here? It's important to know who God is speaking to. He's speaking to Joshua about the law of Moses or the word of God, right? Is he just speaking to Joshua? Or can we apply this to our own lives?
Anything in the Bible applies to our lives.
Well, we have to be careful because everything does it. Amen? But that's another story. But the Bible did say that things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we might have comfort and hope in the scriptures. As I believe that's in Romans 15, verse 4. But anyhow, okay, this book of the law, this book, the Bible, shall not depart out of thy mouth. What does that mean? Shall not depart out of thy mouth. God talking to Joshua. And we'll see as we cross-reference this verse somewhere else that, you know, this also works for us too. Amen? Go ahead, brother. Okay, all right. But yeah, I want to look at what he says here. This book of the law should not depart out of thy mouth. What is God saying? We ought to continue to what? Speak it. Amen? This book of the law should not depart out of thy mouth. Okay. Thou shalt meditate therein. Meditate. What does it mean to meditate? Now, you guys that have worked with the Reformers Unanimous, you really got into a deep study about this whole concept of meditation. You know, and I believe I had read somewhere, and I believe this to be true, where, what's that guy's name that wrote all those books? Steve Currington. Amen? He talked about how meditation is very, very, very vital and very, very important in our lives and our relationship with God. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Don't stop speaking this word. Thou shalt meditate therein. Meditate in the word. What does it mean to meditate in the word? To think about it over and over. Other implications in reference to meditation. To think about it. Meditation is marination. I need to write that down. Write that down for me. But meditation is marination. Does Currington give you that, or was that yours? You gotta marinate that word, marinate, man, in you. Right? You gotta chew on that thing, you know. You gotta go ahead. I'm listening. My mouth is shut. I'm listening. You know, the implication. If you really want to really meditate to the fullest, you need to memorize it. You need to hide that word in your heart. Turn with me, please. I'm going to take my time because we got two parts, but I'm going to get you out of here before lunch because I'm hungry too. We'll be back tonight, and I'm going to tease you a little bit, try to encourage you to come back. Because, you know, one of the things we're going to probably talk about more than anything tonight is what keeps us from experiencing the prosperity that God wants us to have. Now, some of you say, I already know, because you're smart folks. You don't know everything. But anyhow, what did I just ask you? Oh, Proverbs chapter 2. As you know, when I think about meditating on the Word of God, and you know, I almost automatically my mind goes back to Proverbs chapter 2. I'm going somewhere with this. How many of you want to experience God's prosperity in your life? How many of you want God to bless you spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, in your finances or your stewardship? How many of you want God to bless you socially? And especially in the relationship he wants to give you an opportunity to experience the reason why he created you. The reason why he recreated us so that we can experience the ultimate intimate relationship with him, according to John chapter 17. But when I think about meditation and, you know, I think about Proverbs chapter 2. And brother, would you read that for us? Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. Do you need the mic?
No, they can hear me. I'll stand up.
Okay. How's my breath?
Good.
You're supposed to give me a lozenge.
I thought we did. But...
Can't you tell you didn't? I can pick on myself. You don't have to pick on me.
I think I want to hide underneath a rock somewhere. My son, if thou wilt receive my words.
My son, if thou wilt receive my words.
And hide my commandments with thee.
And hide that my commandments with thee.
So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom.
So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom. And apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, lift up thy voice for understanding. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hidden treasure, then shall I understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God.
Verse 6. For the Lord giveth wisdom.
Goodness.
Out of his mouth cometh knowledge.
Listen, guys, when I think about meditation, I think about the depths of meditation. I think about this verse. Man, receive his word. Hide his commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge from the word of God, lift up thy voice for understanding. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hidden treasure, then shall thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He keepeth sound wisdom for the righteous. He preserveth the way of his saints. Man, if you get into that word, you read that word, man, you meditate on that word, you study that word of God. You cry after knowledge, you lift up your voice. Oh God, I bet your pastor does that. With all the knowledge he has, where do you think it came from? You already know. If you seek her as silver, talking about the word of God, and search for her as for hidden treasures. That's taking meditation to another level, isn't it? Then shall I understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night and observe to do. Meditate therein day and night. When do we meditate? Or all the time, throughout the day, throughout the night. Someone told me once, you know, I was having trouble with insomnia because, you know, my mind gets to working sometimes. I can't turn it off, man. It just keep reverberating, and I'm begging God, let me go to sleep. A pastor friend of mine said, listen, Tony, why don't you just start having devotions at that time? And if the devil's picking on you, he'll let you know. Because you're focusing on the Lord, the word of God, amen? And you're praising him and you're worshiping him. Yes, sir. I said you could talk. Concentrate. Meditate. Concentrate. Contemplate. Gurgitate. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, throughout the day. You know, take those verses and you attempt to memorize them. Think about them throughout the day. And you'll be surprised how much insight God gives you if you show that much respect on the word of God. Now, listen, you know what? Brother, this is pretty convicting, especially when I have to look at my wife. Because she knows, man. That we're not always on point. But God in his wisdom and his grace would allow me to come in here to motivate, challenge, and encourage you. Isn't he wonderful? Because of the way he values his word. He's magnified his word over and above his name, who he is. You know, Psalms chapter 138, verse 2, and I'm not so sure exactly what that verse means. But I do know that he holds it in high esteem. He doesn't minimize the importance of his word. And by the way, neither does Satan. And neither should we. The essential necessity and enduring word. This book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and then observe to do according to all that is written there. And here's the promise. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Not according to your standards, not according to mine. You know, I want to be careful, you know, to mention that, because I'm gonna walk down every one of those things we talked about, those areas of our lives, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, financially, socially, relationally. And for some people are going to say, well, listen, God promised to prosper me physically. Well, how come I'm suffering with all this stuff that I'm going through? Let me say this right now. I don't know how much God is going to prosper you. If you speak the word, meditate in day and night, be obedient to the word. But I know that he promises a measure of success and prosperity according to his standard for his kingdom purposes. Are you with me? Say, well, that's a promise to Joshua. Amen. Let's look at a cross-reference to this and see how this applies to us as well. Psalms chapter 1. You already know where I'm going, don't you, brother? Half of you are probably doing this Bible church here. But anyhow, blessed is the man or woman that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. You had this in Sunday school today? I heard somebody say you had this in Sunday school. Maybe I'm hearing things. But anyhow. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, or the word of God. And in his law, or in his word, doth he meditate day and night. And look at the promise here. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. In other words, you won't be a withered branch, disconnected from the vine. That's another lesson. How many of you know what it's like to be a branch that is not connected to the vine? Brother, you're not the only one, but you're the only one. You're the only two that really admitted it. No, brother nodded over here, so I can say amen to that. I know what it's like. It's no fun. And he should be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And watch this. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now that's a great cross reference to Joshua 1:8. Amen. So he's not just talking in reference to this whole perspective. He's not just talking to Joshua. But can I get a little personal here? He's talking to you. He's talking to you. 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 You, 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 me, I, him, she. And we. Moi. Did I use that right? Moi. Whatsoever. Now correct me if I'm wrong. I think the implication is prosperity and success in every area of your life. Spiritually, emotionally. Boy, we can use a lot of that today. Yeah, I don't know if I've ever, and I've only been on this earth for 65 years. Is it 65, baby? So, 65 and a half, like the kids, you know. I'll be 66 in December. People are hurting emotionally. Big time. Why, Anthony? When God promises you prosperity and good success in that area. We're going to look at that. Spiritually, emotionally, mentally, in our thought life, physically. I had a workup. I was having some belly pain the other day, and they worked me over. They gave me CT scan and all kinds of stuff, and they said, "Oh, you know what? This is pretty good." And I said, "Be more specific." I said, "Well, you got spots on your lungs, and you got enlarged adrenal glands, and you got this, you got that." I said, "But at your age, you're fine. You'll be fine." How long do I have to live, man? Come on. Okay. In your social life, and especially your relationship with him. Let's get started. Okay, now I do all the talking. Okay, and I trust that you'll pray that I'll listen to the Holy Spirit so he can speak to me and through me as I run my mouth. If back in the day, when I was a lot younger, we had this old saying, and I don't hear it that much anymore, but it says this about the Word of God: what you do with the Bible, God will do with you. You ever hear that, brother? You're not that young. What you do with the Bible, if you put God's Bible on the shelf, God will put you on the shelf. And I can understand that when you understand how important the Word of God is to him. Amen. Let's look at a few of these verses that speak to that. Look at Proverbs chapter 28, verse 9. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 9. And let me back up a little bit. I do want your help, so I want some good, strong readers. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 9. And Vic, when you get there, would you stand and read that for us? Proverbs 28, verse 9.
He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination.
Whoa. In other words, if you don't listen to God, he doesn't want to listen to you. What you do with the Bible, God will do with you. We're just trying to foster the whole concept of, you know, the importance of the Word of God to God. God, why should I listen to you if you won't listen to me? As a matter of fact, your prayer would be something I don't even want. Now that I don't want to hear it, I don't want nothing to do with it. I want to be careful to motivate, challenge, and encourage it. Okay, so we're looking at not only that perspective, but look at this. Look at James chapter 1, verses 22 to 25. Good, strong reader. James chapter 1. Verses 22 through 25. If you think I'm putting you on the spot and you don't have to read, but I do need somebody that's bold enough to do some reading. Go ahead, sister.
But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves.
Go ahead.
For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass.
Keep going.
For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was.
Keep reading.
But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds.
God promises a blessing to those who are not just hearers of the word, amen, but doers of the word of God. That is where your encouragement comes from, amen? You know, God places before us a blessing and a cursing. You think God might be speaking to me too? It's not the hearer that is blessed, but it's the doer. How about this one? This one's tough. But there's a negative and a positive here. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 13. Proverbs 13, verse 13. Male, female, when you get there, let me know. And we'll read that for us. If I think you're there, I might call on you. If I look like I'm going to call on you, don't want to be called on, just shake you. You want to. Go ahead.
Whoso despises the word shall be destroyed.
Somebody help me out now. Whoso despises the word. You don't want anything to do with the word of God. Oh, you might. Help me, Lord. You might bring it to church when you come. But you really don't care much about it. You don't highly esteem the Word of God. At least not the way God does. He's placed it above who he is. And some say, well, he's talking about Jesus. And, you know, that's partially true because Jesus is the living Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. And he's given a name that is any name. Amen? Whoso despises the Word, don't want anything to do with it. Don't care about it. Man, I hate that book. You might not say it with your lips, but your actions prove otherwise. Oh, God. Let me say it nicely. He that doesn't absolutely love the word. Doesn't say that, though. He that despises the word, is the promise, shall be destroyed. Whew. What does that mean? You're headed down the road of destruction, apart from the Word of God. But whoso... You got something to say. Say it. Go ahead.
Well, they don't even know they hate the Word of God. They just don't even think about it. They just ignore it.
Well, I think there's something to really actually hate it, too. Don't want to have nothing to do with that thing. Especially after going... hearing from God. You know, both spectrums work. But, I like the but. Here's the encouragement. What does the but say again? But, the rest of that verse. 13. Go ahead, brother. Proverbs 13:13. But whoso despises the word shall be destroyed, but whoso feareth the commandment, the word of God, shall be rewarded. Those who reverence the word of God shall be rewarded. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and observe to do according to all that is written therein. For therein thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and therein thou shalt have good success. We sing this song. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord are pure, enlightening the eyes. Talking about the word of God. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. And in keeping of them, there is what? Great reward. We're just trying to set this message up so that it might help us in reference to having more appreciation and respect for the theme that God has given you this year. The essential and enduring lasts forever. The necessity of the word. Here we go. According to God's word, how can we experience God's prosperity and good success in every area of our lives, in our lives, in our spiritual lives? That's our first point. That's a two-part message, so I'm not going to try to get all these points done this morning. I hope you come back. And how do we experience prosperity and good success? Look at, for the sake of time, we won't read Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 34, but I'll give you that for homework. But we'll focus on the key verse there. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things, and your promise, all these things that the Gentile seeks after. And you know, as you look at the context of that portion of scripture, you know, it talks about how God will provide if we seek his kingdom, his righteousness first, all the bare essentials that we need in life. He'll give us our daily bread, the things that the Gentiles seek after. He said, listen, don't even worry about it. You know, if I can take care of the lilies of the field, if I can take care of the fowls of the air, if I can do all of that. Listen, I know the things that you have need of. Even before you ask, Tony. I'm making you a promise, son. Why are you worried about all that stuff? Take no thought for any of that. He said, but this is what you need to do rather than anything else, Tony. Tony, seek you first. The kingdom of God. And I think he's making reference to the spiritual kingdom. The one that precedes, you know, his literal kingdom that's going to be set up down here on the earth after his second coming. But right now, I believe he's making reference to spiritual. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Before you seek after anything else in life, Tony. And I don't think he's saying it in that, maybe in that tone of voice. Son, listen, let me give you some good advice. Before you seek after anything else, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Tony, I want you to seek the kingdom that I rule and reign over today. That spiritual kingdom where I am acknowledged as King of Kings, Lord of Lords. I thought about that when you opened up with that song, Majesty, worship his majesty. Unto Jesus be all glory, honor, and praise. Majesty, kingdom authority flows from his throne unto his own, his anthem raise. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus, magnify. Come glorify Christ Jesus, your King. Majesty, worship his majesty. Jesus who died, now glorified. King of all kings, seek ye first. Spiritual things first. The spirit of God's kingdom first. We don't even have to guess about that. Lord, what should I seek after in life? You know, what should I do with my life? What's your name, son? You. What's your name? Terrence? Nice name, son. I'm not going to use you as an example. I don't want to embarrass you. I'll use you.
I don't get embarrassed. Oh, no.
No, you grew up with that woman. You don't have to guess about what God wants you to seek after in life, young man. Before you even seek a wife, seek ye first my kingdom. Spiritual, the spiritual thing first. And all those other things that you seek after. Prosperity and your success starts there. Know what that means. And his righteousness, his way of doing things. Instead of your own kingdom and your own way of doing things. Man, I wish I had obeyed that word when I was younger. And I heard it when I was younger. You know how much prosperity and success I'd be experiencing in my life today? If I had listened when I was younger. God wants to prosper you and give you good success. According to his word. But you have to, spiritually. But you have to seek his kingdom, his righteousness first. Okay, you said we got to be out of here by 12. Okay, we're doing okay. That was the first point. The second point is this. If you want to experience God's prosperity and good success today, emotionally, according to the word of God, look at Philippians chapter. You know I'm going there. I have to go there. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Philippians chapter 4, verse, we're talking about experiencing God's prosperity and good success emotionally. Man. Be careful for nothing. But at everything by prayer. Did I misquote that? By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. Here's the promise of prosperity. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding. So keep your hearts in mind. Through Christ Jesus. You know, is God able to give you a peace that passes all understanding when all hell is breaking loose, or you feel like all hell is breaking loose in your life? Is he able, Tony? Yeah, sometimes I believe that. But there's other times. Don't believe it enough. I want to be careful with this. Be careful for nothing. Listen, don't worry about anything. Didn't he say that over in Matthew chapter 6? Take no thought. Don't worry about anything. But instead, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, we're talking about all types of prayer here. We're talking about thanksgiving. We're talking about supplication, you know, praying for the things that you need. you know, really diligently seeking after God. I mean, earnest prayer. You know what the Holy Spirit just told me? I've been trying to tell you that, Tony. You know, sometimes we pray, but then there's times we really pray. With thanksgiving. Thanking me before he delivers. Intercession. Let your requests be made known unto God. He already knows that you're an emotional wreck. He already knows that you worry about everything, Tony. Sometimes, you know, we just like misery. And we want to draw the people in. Now, I said I wanted to be careful here because I know some people, we suffer more emotionally than others do. I know I do, than the average person. Man, I can be as high as a kite. I can jump over pews. I don't do that much anymore because of my health. But I can have whole restaurants singing with me. And then some of these times, man, I can go in the corner and you won't even know I'm there. You know, at church, you know, people know when I'm there because that's my brother. Because they hear me before they see me. Amen?
Yeah.
When I'm in the dumps, I'm like that. I can't call myself a church mouse. I'm too big for a mouse. So am I the church rat? I sneak in under the radar. You weren't here. Yes, I was. How come I didn't hear you? You didn't sing this morning. I didn't hear you. Folks, some people suffer more emotionally. From a clinical perspective, and I get that. But if we have to go to the doctor and be treated for stuff like that, why not go to the Lord first and let him give you a measure of emotional success and prosperity? That's all I'm saying. I mean, at the end of the day, what we need is peace. God promises, according to the word, to prosper us to some measure. You say, well, Lord, how long? That's where waiting of the Lord comes in. Doesn't always happen immediately. But I'll guarantee you that there's folks there. Perhaps everybody in the church this morning having gone through something heavy emotionally and in the process have experienced a peace of God. Maybe not because you prayed, but somebody prayed for you. And I'm not mocking anybody for emotional issues because I have them myself. I've told you before, they diagnosed me as being bipolar. I tell him, so are you. So big deal. I just might, my highs might be a little higher. My lows might be a little lower. But God can handle it all. This book of the law shall not depart thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous therein, thou shalt have good success. The whole point of the message is to motivate, challenge, encourage you, you know, in reference to the essential and enduring word of God. God promises to give us, gives us prosperity and good success in every area of our lives, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, financially, or in our stewardship, our social life. Do we struggle socially, dealing with people, dealing with relationships? God is even concerned about that. But the most important is our relationship with Him. So I'm going to leave it right there. We got five other points, and I'll cover them tonight. Just want to help you along your journey. But I will say this in reference to salvation and in reference to spiritually, and I save this till this point in the message. God wants to prosper you spiritually. And if you're saved, He already has. If you're saved, if you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, please get this. If you're not, especially if you're not saved, the Word of God says that you have been blessed with all spiritual blessings. According to Ephesians chapter 1, I believe verse 4, you have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The moment you receive Christ, God has blessed you with the greatest gift that there is, the unspeakable gift of His Son, the perfect gift, the Lord Jesus Christ, as your Lord and Savior. Jesus has blessed you with Himself. Amen. The Bible says that he that was rich became poor, that we all might be rich. He sacrificed Himself totally and completely, the ultimate sacrifice. And He's given Himself to us as a gift. You've been blessed with all spiritual blessings. You've been blessed with the Holy Spirit. You've been blessed the Bible says that God has blessed you, has given you all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who has called you in virtue, glory and virtue. You've been blessed, all spiritual blessings. You can go to God in prayer, any place, anytime, anyhow, and you can have His audience as a child of God. You've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. If you're lost, God wants to bless you with eternal life. But you have a choice. You can either choose eternal damnation or hell, or you choose God's blessings through Jesus Christ. You know, the Word of God tells us that all the promises of God in Christ are yea and amen. They're ours. But you have to receive Jesus. That's where God's blessings begin, His best blessings. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Can you honestly say that there was a time in your life that you surrendered your life to Jesus? And you called upon the name of the Lord to save you. The Word of God says, if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you believe in your heart. Let me ask you, do you believe that Jesus is the Lord? Do you believe that He is the King of Kings, Lord of Lords? If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, do you want Him to be your Lord? Are you willing to surrender your life to Him so that He can shower you all these blessings according to His will? So He can bless you spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, financially, in your social life, and with a proper relationship with God. He's able to do that. But you have to acknowledge Him as your Lord. Surrender your life to Him. Give your life to Him. Repent. Turn to Him. You have to believe enough to receive Him as your Savior. You believe that He died and was raised to life again. You believe enough to call upon the name of the Lord. that he might save you. Let's close with prayer. Abba, Father, I marvel, dear God, that you would use someone like me to speak your word, one who already knows that I'm not worthy at all. And if there's anybody to receive the blessing, Lord, it came from you and not from me. God, help us to count our blessings for that one or that two or those, dear God, who have never received you as their Savior. God, I'm praying for them right now. Even as I did already this morning, not knowing who they were. God, I pray that you would give those who are lost the grace, the wisdom to surrender to you right now and call upon the name of the Lord that they might be saved and be able, dear God, to experience the blessings that you want to give them throughout every area of their lives, starting with salvation. You're here today, and you know you received Christ as your Lord and Savior. You know that without a shadow of doubt. Nobody's looking around. Would you just somehow just acknowledge that with a raised hand or with an amen or whatever? You know that you're saved. You know that you're a child of God. You're here today and you don't know, and you want to be. Would you please ask the Lord to save you? If you're not saved, you got to understand that that's the number one reason why you're here today. God brought you here, if you're not saved, for another opportunity, not only to listen and to hear about the blessings that God wants you to experience, but to receive the greatest blessing that you can. To receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you're not saved, you want to be saved, well, pray something like this in your heart. And realize that God looks beyond the words and he looks at the heart. Pray something like this. Lord, Jesus, I believe that you're the Lord. And I want you to be the Lord of my life. I want not only the greatest blessing that there is, receiving you as my Savior, but I want to experience the other blessings that preacher's talking about. And so I'm calling upon you right now. Please forgive me for being disobedient to the gospel. Until now. I believe enough to ask you to save me, and I'm asking you right now, please save me and give me eternal life. And then show me how to live a life that's pleasing to you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it, would you please just raise your hand? If you prayed it and you meant it, I see your hand. You need to talk to someone about that. And you've got some great ministers in this church. I know them personally. Thank you for your courage. Now, brother, before I become a liar and say that I want to keep these guys after lunch, why don't you come up and close? Who's responsible for closing? But please come back and finish the message tonight. I promise I won't be as long. I don't think I'll be as long. I'll try not to be as long.